Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
For more, visit imlistening.org. Remember, talk has the power to save lives.
Go back in time with Radio.com Rewind. And just so you know, no DeLorean necessary. All you need is the Radio.com app. You can pause and rewind your favorite news and sports stations when you listen on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Take a short trip 15 seconds back, start your favorite show over, or travel a whole 24 hours back in time. Great Scott! Radio.com Rewind will change the way you listen to radio forever. Yeah, that sounds like hype, but we're serious. Check it out and time travel today. Radio.com Rewind. Plutonium optional.
The official home of Packers fans.
Watched the Packers my entire life. I remember throwing the Nerf football to myself in the backyard.
WSSP Milwaukee. WXSS HD2 Wauwatosa. AM 1250 and 105.7 FM. The Fan. Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Bart Winkler alongside Ryan Horvath, alongside you this morning, wherever this morning finds you. We're happy to have you. What a shocker last night. The Denver Nuggets have advanced to the Western Conference Finals to take on the LA Lakers. They go down 3-1 against the Jazz, come back. Down 3-1 against the Clippers, come back. Kawhi Leonard did not shoot well in that series. Where was that last year, Kawhi? Where was that last year? We'll talk about that a little bit later and why the Nuggets' success actually, in a weird, twisted way, makes me feel, not, I won't say better, but I'll say less bad about the Bucks bowing out early. So that coming up in just a little bit. We'll start with the Brewers. What was that? In a good way. 18-3. The Brewers go down early right away in this one. They win last night. They go down early and you're like, okay, they're going to lose again. Jack Flaherty's been pitching amazing for the Cardinals. Cardinals pitching always seems to figure out the Brewers. And the Brewers, they can't hit to begin with. We talked with Tim Allen yesterday on the show, and one of the, I think what we came to as far as a conclusion, and you know, Tim's always Mr. Championship Season guy, the host of our postgame show, and we said this team is not good, and they're not fun, and they're a chore to watch, but you can't quit them because they're still so, like, they're in the playoff race. Whether you like it or not, they are in the playoff race. Eight teams make the playoffs. There's a bunch of different ways the Brewers could sneak their way in. So you can't quit on them, even though you want to. Even though they scored 19 runs on Wednesday of last week and then can't play to run to save their life over the weekend, get no hit on Sunday, the doubleheader, they should have probably won both of those games on Monday. Couldn't win that second game. And you're like, I'm not having fun watching this team. So you think, oh, okay. This Heat game, Celtics game, maybe I can watch that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna turn on the Brewers. Oh, they're down 1-0. My God. Okay, well, I'll watch a little bit. Christian Yelich is at the plate. Guy's not even hitting over 200. Then he hits a home run. Oh, okay. All right. Ryan Braun's up. Oh, Braun. Good to see him. He's always hurt. He hits a home run. They go back to back. They had two more in the third, seven in the fourth, six in the fifth. 15 hits last night. They outscore the Cardinals 18-3. So this team that's like so grating to watch at times, and I know even the most diehard Brewer fan, you're like, there's been nights where you just want the game to be over. And Monday night, I wanted the game to be over because I wanted to watch football. Last night, I wanted the game to be over because I wanted to watch hoops. But then they go ahead and they win 18-3. Jack Flaherty allowed 7 runs last night. That's how many runs he allowed in his previous 5 starts combined. Okay. Some stats from our Adam McKelvey. The Brewers, as I mentioned, scored 19 runs last Wednesday. Then over their next 5 games, they only scored 7. They hit 139 as a team in those 5 games. So we're counting the weekend series against the Cubs, and we're counting the 2 games Monday. In those games, they hit a combined 139. They only scored 5 runs. They went 1-for-22 with runners in scoring position. And as we mentioned, they got no hit on Sunday. Then last night, they score 18 runs again. So 19 runs last week, 7 runs over 5 games, and then 18 runs again. Now, you would like them to save some runs. I know that that's like a thing that isn't, you can't really do, but man, 19 runs and then 7 runs over 5 games and then 18 runs. So maybe there is a good team in there. Daniel Vogelbach hit a home run and he's spraying the ball all over the field. Jed Jerko's been good. Maybe there is a playoff worthy team in this wild season in this team, but it's just, it hasn't been consistent enough. So we'll see today another doubleheader. Brandon Woodruff pitching one of the games, unless they came out and announced it. I haven't seen which game it will be.
Yeah, no, they haven't yet. And Adam Wainwright, I think, is going to pitch in game 1 for the Cardinals, I believe. He's going to pitch in one of them.
Because Monday, Lindblom and Burns both pitched.
Yeah.
And counsel was asked, why Burns in game 2? And he goes, you know, we sat there for a long time trying to come up with a reason. Like, Burns should pitch 1 or Burns should pitch 2. And we couldn't.
I hate
We
this.
Looked at splits.
I hate this season so much. I do.
Well, it's almost over.
No, it's not, though. They'll get into the postseason.
Well, what's wrong with that?
No, I want them to. It's just, like you said, man, you get no hit on Sunday by Alec Mills, and then you explode against one of the best pitchers in all of baseball in Jack Flaherty.
Well, this team, they're not fun. They're not worthy of a playoff spot.
I guess that's really what it comes down to. Is like last year, you know, when Christian Yelich went down, I was like, okay, postseason will be fun. Hopefully you get a victory against the Nationals. And, you know, then it was a nice season. It was another trip to the postseason. But you have no legit shot at winning it at all. But then again, I thought that the Dodgers did, and then they were upset, you know. And so this season, it's kind of like the same thing, but it's like, man, even if you get into the postseason, who are you beating?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's a
great
question.
But just get in, right. I mean, just get in. People were saying that about the Nationals last year. They had the 3rd worst record in all of baseball at the All-Star break. They were in last place in their division, and they ended up winning the World Series. Now, the difference is, though, you look at their starting rotation. So it's just like, you don't have Max Scherzer on this squad, unfortunately, or Steven Strasburg.
With Burns and Woodruff, though, yeah. You got something.
Okay.
You got something, and then you just need one other guy to step up, especially in a 3-game series.
Yeah, bad example using the pitchers because the pitching staff has been solid. Same thing, and I trust the bullpen even. Like, I think the bullpen is good enough to make a postseason run. At least Devin Williams and Josh Hader are, if you could get starters to go 5-6. And so I guess I should be more concerned with the bats.
Oh, it's always been the bats. It's been the bats all season.
Yeah, it's just so inconsistent.
Christian Yelich, a prime example. He had 3 hits last night to boost his batting average to .209. And again, say what you want about batting average. Christian Yelich having a .209 batting average is not good.
Right.
We can, even if you hate batting average, you can acknowledge that is not good in any way, shape, or form. So Brewers went 18-3 last night. You know, I say they're not playoff worthy. I think back to some of the teams of the 80s that were good, but they couldn't get in because baseball, the 92 team I've brought up too. In 1992, two teams made the playoffs from each league. You had two divisions of seven teams, if I remember right, the East and the West. And the Brewers were in the AL East, and they won 92 games. 92 games, the 92 Brewers. But they took second place in the East behind the Blue Jays. So the Blue Jays were in the championship series. You had the two teams play for the pennant. You had all those teams in the 80s that came close. And those are the teams that were playoff worthy. Now, here in 2020, in this messed up season, the Milwaukee Brewers are 22-25, three games under 500. And because eight teams make the playoffs, eight, you go from two to four is one thing.
Right.
Two to six, eight teams are making the playoffs this year. Again, as we talked about with Tim yesterday, we know this is not a playoff team, but you can't quit them because they are in a playoff race. And we said going into last night's game, everything that they have done up to this point, it really doesn't matter. And that's true again today. Everything they've done up to this point, the Brewers, really doesn't matter. What matters is where they're at right now because they've got their destiny in front of them. They still play the Cardinals seven more times. Two today, and then another five-game series to wrap up the season that will be in St. Louis. You look at the standings right now, and to placate my main man, Ryan Horvat, welcome back, by the way. We missed you.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we missed you. To placate you, when we talk about the MLB standings,
yeah,
we do have our MLB standings music.
Here we go, baby.
We play this to get you guys in the mood, and also it makes me reading numbers a little less boring. Scientifically proven focus groups have determined that. So here's how the Brewers can get in. Well, they're not gonna win the Central. The Central right now, the Cubs are 29-20. So they're not gonna win the Central. Cubs likely will.
And they're awful too.
At 29-20?
They're not a good baseball team.
They're 29-20.
Yeah, they feasted early on the Pirates and everybody else dying of COVID. And now they're coming back down to earth. They won last night.
All right.
Yu Darvish wasn't great.
Oh, my man, Yu.
Not great last night. Not a great betting night for me is how I know all this information.
Oh, Ryan.
Lost about 15K. Seriously.
15K?
No, not that bad, but not great.
15K is like half
my salary. I lost everything I've won in the last 2 months. I lost that and more last night.
On the Clippers?
On the Clippers, on the Brewers. I had the Cardinals in the first five.
Mm.
Jack Flaherty's given up like three runs all year, and then gives up seven to this Brewers team. And then I had the Cubs first five under. And Yu Darvish got shelled. By shelled, I mean he gave up three runs. Give me the numbers. Give me the standings. I need them. I need this baseball.
29-20, the Chicago Cubs. So the Brewers could get in as the second team in the Central, which right now is the St. Louis Cardinals at 21-22. The Brewers at 22-25 would be two games back of the Cardinals right now. That's how that works. They're two games back. But let's not forget the Reds have crept up. The Reds are 24-26. So actually the Brewers are in fourth in the NL Central. But there's another way they can get in. The Phillies and the Giants hold the final two wild card spots. Because again, baseball this year, if you're second place, you're guaranteed in. And then there's two wild card spots. The Giants are under 500. I don't think they played last night because of smoke on the West Coast.
Yeah, air quality.
So that actually could mess up. You know, maybe this season just wasn't meant to be. You ever think about that?
Well, that's like what I continue to say, is that I love baseball. I think, you know, people think I hate baseball. I don't. I just wasn't kidding when I said that the 3 months of the owners and Rob Manfred and the players going back and forth just really turned me off. And now they're just trying to fit everything into this short schedule, and they're making up rules as we go along, and teams are catching COVID, and not everybody's even going to play the same amount of games. We're looking at win percentage. World Series is going to be played in Arlington, Texas. It's just really hard to get into for me. I'll be back next year, maybe, if, I mean, Major League Baseball's back. It's just been really tough this year. The seven-inning doubleheaders I hate. I don't like the extra inning rule, and I feel like that's here to stick. No, I think baseball would have been better off just scrapping the season, but financially I don't think they would have survived. They really need that postseason revenue.
There's been so many reasons, so many different reasons why games have been delayed or postponed. There was obviously, you know, the COVID issues. There's been the wildfires in California and the West Coast.
It's unreal.
Houston had to reschedule a game, I think it was last week, because of a hurricane.
Yeah.
There was one game, it might have been in Minnesota, where it was delayed for like an hour because someone was flying a drone overhead.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that.
Then there was the whole issue where sports shut down for like a half a week to protest racial injustice.
Yeah, what a weird year.
It's just like baseball is trying to cram in all these games. On the fly, they have now decided to go into a bubble for the postseason.
Just out of nowhere, during the season, they just decide this. That's what I'm saying. Like,
they decided on the fly the doubleheaders are going to be seven innings.
There was a trade deadline.
There was a trade.
The Brewers have had like 90 guys on this roster already this year. Like, everybody.
Dan Vogelbach looks like Chris Farley.
Yeah, Justin Smoke or Logan Morrison was on this team. Hashtag people forget.
Brock Holt. Justin Smoke.
Does Brock Holt have a job yet?
I don't think he's got a baseball job right now. I don't know what he's up to.
He's just selling insurance at Allstate.
I don't know what he's up to. I don't think he's playing baseball.
It's just been really hot. And I love baseball. Again, like, I feel like, you know, everybody's always tweeting, like, Horvat hates baseball. No. I hate this version of baseball. This is just like, I'm not putting an asterisk next to anything this season. Football, nope. NBA, nope. Nope, you get no excuses, Clippers. You get no excuses, Bucks. Baseball, though, this has been all thrown together, man. I don't think I could crown a real champion this year. Unless it's the Brewers.
Brewers got a doubleheader today, 4:10, and then if it was like Monday, maybe around 7:30, about a half hour after game one ends. We will have you covered here with the postgame show, as always. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat, you mentioned the asterisks in the NBA. There is not, I don't think there should be one either. But with the Nuggets continuing this run, again, it doesn't make me feel better about what happened to the Bucks, but it does make me feel less worse. And we'll talk about that coming up. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, radio.com is the free app. You can download, catch us anywhere, use the Rewind. Just started the show with some Brewers chatter, as they say. They won 18-3, doubleheader tonight. Also a doubleheader last night in the NBA.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. 5:30 was game one of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Ooh.
This game goes to overtime. Maybe one of the best playoff blocks of all time. I think you can put it up there with LeBron James in the finals a few years ago. Bam Adebayo on Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum going to the cup, as they say.
On the take. B.A.
And then stuffed.
Yeah.
And the Heat get the victory, 117-114. In that game, I found myself quite heavily rooting for the Boston Celtics, who I do not like.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys are fine. Brown's fine. Tatum's fine. Kemba. I guess I like the guys. I don't want... Boston's had enough. I don't need the Boston Celtics to win another championship. So I was rooting for them, however, because the Heat, I don't want to see. And the Heat were doing the same thing to the Celtics that they did against the Bucks, which if you're a Bucks fan, you can be like, oh, okay. So, you know, some people do like the team that beats your team to win. So you can say and think and feel better. I want to see the same misery. Heat fans need to feel the same misery that I feel.
They will soon enough.
Because they did it to me.
Yeah, both teams are going to feel some misery.
Because they did it to me. So last night, Jay Crowder's hitting threes.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's hitting clutch shots. Tyler Hero, who makes a shot and then does this thing where he like just... Tyler Hero, when he makes shots, it seems like at the moment he makes a shot, he's a five-year-old kid that transforms into the body.
He kind of is a five-year-old kid. He's like 19 years old.
And he's running around. He's like, because he always just looks like, I can't believe I'm here doing this.
God, I love his game, though. He is a killer. He just, he's
not. Oh, Doris Burke loves his game.
I think that you just, as a basketball fan, you just have to, because he has no fear whatsoever.
There's well, and he's more clutch than any Bucks been the last 2 years.
That's so true. And
so that sucks.
You know, he is a killer. I mean, he could score. He just knocks down big shot after big shot, and he's not afraid to do it in big games, which is crazy because he's so young. He's a rookie. Like last night, I'm watching the Clippers in Game 7. Playoff P collapses. He can't hit a shot. He hits the side of the backboard on a wide-open corner three. He looked awful. Kawhi Leonard. And then there's reports that the Clippers were only able to play 3 minutes at one time, like during the late stretch, because they were so gassed. You're watching veterans that are afraid to take that shot in the fourth quarter of a Game 7. And then you're watching a 20-year-old rookie in Tyler Hero. No fear whatsoever in the biggest game of his life. No fear. We'll take any shot. And he's the real deal. The Heat looked good. It was a good start to my night because, unlike everybody else, I actually bet against the Celtics and took the Heat. I figure, okay, you got your one dog, and then you're going to get your favorite. The Clippers, Nuggets, that'll be close going into the fourth quarter. Then the Clippers will run away with it. Not the case, but I find it like, I don't know who I'm rooting for in the East because, right, Boston doesn't need any more success. Usually I would root for this Miami team because they're like a bunch of scrappy underdogs, but they got Jimmy Butler on the team who I can't stand.
Well, they beat the Bucks.
And they beat the Bucks.
They beat the Bucks, yeah, so I'm not going to root for them.
Right, and I know Crowder.
Even if I tried, I can't. I can't. Physically can't.
Right.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
You mentioned your bet again last night, and I know sometimes people are like, oh, he talks about his bets too much.
Yeah.
Horvat lost an extraordinary amount of money last night.
Yeah.
So
I won't talk about it the rest of the
show. No, I if you need to like
nah. I'm just shocked.
To get over it.
I'd place that bet again.
Because you had the Clippers.
Yeah, I had the Clippers.
And the Clippers lost 104-89. The Nuggets down 3-1 in the series against the Jazz came back. Down 3-1 in this series came back. And even in this game. It looked like the Clippers were going to win this game throughout the first quarter, first half, but the Nuggets were kept hanging around at a big third quarter. And you look at the guys you mentioned, Paul George was 4-16, Kawhi Leonard 6-22. It would have been nice if Kawhi Leonard was 6-22 at any time last year. Instead, he was the closer for the Raptors. And maybe, you know, had he stayed on the Raptors, that team probably be the NBA title favorites right now.
Yeah, right? Right, definitely. And I would give them a legit shot at beating LeBron, too.
But the Clippers the Clippers going down. Ay-ay-ay. I mean, we thought we thought all year it'd be Bucks versus Lakers and our Clippers, and now just one of those teams have made it to the Final Four. The Clippers is a shock. Nothing against the Nuggets. This is a good young team.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, I saw some Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki comparisons, you know, to the duo.
Yeah.
But the Clippers, this was the Clippers lost their opportunity as much as the Nuggets earned theirs.
They did. And there's a couple things I want to say about last night's game. First things first, Jokic last night dominated that game, and he only took 13 shots. He hit 5 field goals, and it was one of the most dominant performances in NBA playoff history that I've ever seen. He had 22 rebounds, 19 on the defensive side. He had 13 assists. He had 2 steals, 3 blocks, 16 points only in that game, and he dominated. Jamal Murray had 40. He had 20 in the second quarter. You know what's funny is, so now the Nuggets have overcame 2-3-1 deficits in the same playoffs. First team in NBA history to do so. In the first round, they were down to the Jazz. They go down 3-1 in that series. And the Nuggets have been getting torched by NBA Twitter and NBA media for the last 3 years. Like, good regular season team. Same thing about Coach Bud. Good regular season team, but come playoff time, they're not built to win in the playoffs. Jokic isn't a playoff player. Jamal Murray's, you know, not overrated. He's a regular season player. So they go down 3-1 in that series to the Jazz, and everybody was not only writing off the Nuggets for the season, but saying that they should blow it up, that they're never going to be able to win this way.
Blow it up?
Blow it up, as young as they are. Like, Jokic.
Blow what up? They got
Jokic.
Two guys.
Jokic, Murray. Well, no. Not real. Well, yeah, because of injuries, but they got Millsap on that team. Gary Harris has been there for a while, but he was injured.
Is Will Barton coming back?
Probably not. But Michael Porter Jr., I mean, man, what a steal that was. Yeah, you had to redshirt him a year with the injury. But going back to the Clippers, Doc Rivers, he's now blown a 3-1 lead three times.
Yeah.
So we're going to rip Coach Bud. And again, Doc Rivers does have a championship, but how did he get that championship? Blows a 3-1 lead with the Celtics. The next year, they go out and get him Kevin Garnett to peer. And that was like, I don't know, was that like the first super team, would you consider? Because I mean,
some point back to that. Yeah.
Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett. So he gets that team, and that's the team he wins a championship with. We got to throw his name on the table as overrated coaches. You know, we're ripping Coach Bud. Rivers should be getting destroyed today. He's blown another 3-1 lead. We get some reports that, you know, Kawhi, Paul George, Morris, Beverly, all these dogs, right? They're a tough team. That trash they were talking to Luka, all that junk they were talking, they couldn't play 3-minute stretches. They were asking to come out of that game because they were so gassed.
Yeah.
Screw you, Clippers. You were overrated. So now here's the other thing I want to talk about.
Again, Horvat lost money the Clippers.
No, you know what?
Just providing context.
I would place that bet over again. I would place that bet over and over again because I did the same thing with the Warriors last year against the Raptors. The NBA's changed a little bit. It used to be we always knew it was going to be LeBron versus the Warriors every year. Now there's so much parity. And so while I destroyed the Clippers, a lot of that does have to do with Kawhi Leonard shifting the power and not going to the Lakers and pairing up with Anthony Davis and LeBron because they had the cap space to make that happen. Instead, he chose to go to the Clippers and play with Playoff P, the most unproven superstar in NBA history. Also, Chris Middleton, 10 times better player than Paul George, and I think that was proven last night when he missed the rim entirely on a huge, wide-open corner three, which was the most disgusting thing ever. I retweeted it at my Twitter page, at Ryan Horvat. But also, I think we need to look at load management. Because I was thinking about this last night. It worked for Kawhi last year, but it didn't work for the Clippers this year because they used so much load management. So the Clippers were so inconsistent because they would have this game where everybody would play and they'd win by 20, and then the next night they would sit everybody, and then the following night when everybody would try to play again, they would have no rhythm whatsoever, and they had no chemistry whatsoever despite the fact that their bench could probably win 45 games in the East. So I think we got to start looking at load management. It's not good for the NBA. LeBron didn't use it this year. Anthony Davis barely used it. The Lakers are still playing right now. The Celtics didn't use any load management. They're still playing right now. The Heat didn't use any load management. They're still playing right now. The Nuggets didn't use any load management. They're still playing right now. I was thinking about this with the Bucks. They didn't use any load management, really, you know, here and there with Giannis, which I still think you could sit him every once in a while, or Chris Middleton, you know, your superstars. But the way that the Clippers use it, where they don't play back-to-backs and Kawhi plays like, what, 50, 60 games every single season, I just think it's too hard then to turn it on when it is playoff time. Like the Bucks, for example, the first 2 weeks of the bubble, they were lollygagging around, sitting guys here and there, not taking games serious. And we were like, well, they'll turn it on when the playoffs start. And then we see in game one against the Magic in the first round, we're like, oh, that's not easy to do. Same thing with the Clippers. Then they were gassed. Nobody could play 40 minutes for them because all year long, they used this load management, so they weren't conditioned. And you could say, yeah, I mean, you know, quarantining for 3 months probably didn't help in a pandemic hitting, but still, that's no excuse. I just think load management is terrible for the NBA, and hopefully they do something about it, because, man, what a collapse from the Clippers.
Well, the Nuggets getting this far makes me feel, again, not better, but less worse about the Bucks, because...
Who'd you rather have, Paul George or Chris Middleton?
Well, I'd rather have Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
But the Nuggets winning, it just shows that, hey, you know, things are weird, and because it was supposed to be the Clippers and they're not in it. It was supposed to be the Bucks.
Also shows maybe you don't have to blow the Bucks up.
Well,
like, did you think Jokic and Murray were going to get past Kawhi and Paul George?
I did not. I took the Clippers.
Well, right, but you saw what happened with the Nuggets the three previous years, and a lot of people were saying blow it up. I just think that you kind of have to. Like, the playoffs are crazy, and you kind of have to take your bumps and bruises. Now, I think the Bucks still need to go in the luxury tax. I think they need to do everything they can to keep Giannis. But I'm saying, like, I don't know that the answer is just, like, everybody's doing these trade these trade engine things, whatever the hell you call them, trying to get rid of Chris Middleton. I get if you want Bledsoe gone. I just don't think anybody takes him on. I get if you want him gone, but I don't think you need to blow the whole thing up, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, Giannis apparently is ready for another season in Milwaukee. That's 1250 on the AM, the radio.com app. What a tremendous app. Free to download, free to use. My God. I tried to download it twice. You can only get it once, but I love that app. You know, on Wednesday mornings, I gotta find a way to kill time or to not. I need like 15 minutes free on Wednesday mornings during the show because I was just doing this during the break. I'm in a million fantasy leagues, you know?
Yeah.
So Tuesday night into Wednesday morning is when I'm in a lot of leagues that you bid on guys. So you get like the $100 of free money or whatever, and you bid on guys. And so then I'm up like first of all my friends doing the show. So now I'm scouring the waiver wire to see who else I could pick up. I'm in this guillotine league. If you've never tried a guillotine league, they are very, they're fun. I've done it for 1 week. We have 15 guys in this league. And if you have the worst score, you're out of the league. And so we're going to crown the winner in week 15. But if you have the worst score, you're out of the league. And then all the guys you have go into the free agent pool. So Odell Beckham was a free agent this week. DK Metcalf was a free agent this week. Carson Wentz and Alvin Kamara. So I'm like, I'm going to bid all my money on Alvin Kamara.
I like Wentz this week because he was so bad.
Somebody else bid all their money on Kamara. So I thought I was waking up thinking I was going to get Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
But I got Odell Beckham instead.
And he wants to be traded.
Yeah.
To the Packers.
Oh, we will do that later.
Good.
Odell to the Packers.
Good.
Allen Robinson to the Packers.
Yeah.
I figure 9 o'clock hour, commercial free. We'll just let the phones ring and we won't do any work.
Yeah.
Should the Packers trade for Odell? Should the Packers trade for Allen Robinson?
Interesting conversation to have because week one they looked so good, and now we're like, see? They didn't need to draft any wide receivers. MVS. Oh,
I'm not like that.
Allen Lazard. Let's also remember that they were facing a beat-up Vikings pass rush and a secondary where I think they're like a combined 50 years old. So let's just wait and see what happens against Detroit. No, I would take either of those guys. But if I got to choose, give me OBJ. Despite the weird stuff we hear about him off the field, don't care. Imagine him with Aaron Rodgers. Like Allen Robinson, but I'd take the younger receiver if possible. And Allen Robinson could have been here and chose to go to Chicago and play with Trubisky. So this one's on him.
Spoiler alert to both, the Packers will trade for neither.
No, neither. Instead, they will pick up Ryan Grant. No, not that Ryan Grant that rushed for 1,000 yards for the Packers in the past. The Ryan Grant that played for the Washington football team who has 18 career receptions. That's the kind of receiver that they're going to pick up. You know why? Because LaFleur watched him at Tulsa in 08, and he threw a great block. So he said, well, you know.
They will not only not trade for these guys, after somebody does, if somebody does, you'll hear, oh, the Packers were in the mix.
Yeah, they're in the mix. Hashtag in the mix. We're always in the mix, and we've been in the mix since Randy Moss and Terrell Owens' names were popping up.
Marshawn around. Lynch and Tony Gonzalez.
And also, the thing, though, is, like, so I would kill for either of those guys. And if this was Madden, I'd make the move. But I don't know if you could really make the move because how are you going to – they're going to want an extension. Like, Allen Robinson wants to be traded or wants to leave Chicago only because he wants a big deal.
Yeah.
One that Green Bay is unfortunately not going to be able to give him because David Bakhtiari still doesn't have a deal. Kevin King still has to get paid. Aaron Jones still has to get paid, whether you believe he is or not. And so I just don't think that they could go after a guy like an OBJ or like an Allen Robinson and then have to pay him. You know, they probably could have picked up Sanu off waivers yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He got picked up. Again, though, I don't want Sanu. I don't. I don't want one of these old, beaten-up receivers because it's already going to be week two. Rodgers looks confident in his guys, you know, so I don't think that would be the answer right there. I don't even think, like, Josh Gordon would be the answer. I know people were throwing that name out there before Seattle picked him up. You know, I don't want Dez Bryant. I don't want any old, broken-down receivers. But, hell, I'd kill for Allen Robinson or OBJ. I just don't think it could be done.
So the Niners picked up Sanu?
Yeah, because Deebo Samuel is out. I don't know how long Debo's out for. I don't think he was put on. I'm confused because I keep like hearing IR, and I'm like, man, he's out for the year. But then I remember because of how crazy this whole year is, you could actually come off the IR week three or week four, right? I believe it is this year. Something like that.
You're on there for 3 weeks. You're on there for 3 weeks. I guess I said it as a joke, but okay. 414-799-1250. We will talk about trading for these receivers. I do have a Giannis tweet that I want to read, but trading for receivers. do these people want to talk about trading for receivers?
Yeah. Sorry, I was on the phone.
Yeah, I know. All right, who's on?
Well, I am doing my job right now and putting that, but
mine screen's broke.
Oh yeah, good, because mine is too. Jesse is on the south side of Milwaukee on line one. Let's go to line one, Bart. Line one is Jesse.
What's up, Jesse?
Hey guys, what's going on? I'm just throwing a bone out there in the sense that what would OBJ be able to do here besides the fact that he's a cancer in the locker room? We can't pay him, and we already have Devontae Adams, who's a number one. And he's been getting, 10 to 14 passes a game. What would OBJ be getting on the other side?
I don't know that OBJ. First of all, I don't like cancer in the locker room. Cause,
okay.
But why is he that? So he kicked the net once and he left at halftime? Why does everyone hate OBJ so much?
Well, he likes to talk a lot. He talks a lot on Twitter. When he's not happy, he starts whining on Twitter. And then everybody thinks that he wants to get traded and stuff like that, but I realize that he does. He's got Baker Mayfield trying to throw a ball to him, but can't do it. But I just feel like that his presence in the locker room wouldn't be good. I just don't. It's just me.
He hasn't tweeted since July 19th, so I don't know I don't know about the social media thing.
Well, I'm not on Twitter, so I just.
My God! Never
stay,
get out.
Yeah, stay off. You're so smart.
No. Oh my God!
Seriously, never
good
get
you.
Out there.
Good for you.
I call it the dark web.
I'm not even on Facebook anymore.
Now. Oh my God, that's even better.
Yeah, actually.
Oh my God, Jesse. Yeah,
Jesse, definitely. Facebook is the worst.
Good for you.
Facebook is like Bosnia in '93.
Right now.
Oh my God,
I think I should have said that.
You guys take care.
Thanks, see you, Jesse. Bud.
Bye.
Yeah, I don't know why. You know, OBJ gets this like diva.
I think Facebook. Honestly, I think it should be shut down.
Like, I want to give OBJ a pass because he had
to do a podcast on that.
He had to play with old, broken down Eli Manning. He has to play with Baker Mayfield, who I still don't think is the problem. I still think it's the offensive line and even Kevin Stefanski's play calling week one. Like, for some reason, they didn't go to Nick Chubb. They didn't run the football. I thought that I felt like I was watching last year's Browns team again. We overreact after week one as well. Like, the Browns may not be as bad as they looked week one. Week one is weird. But with OBJ, and that's a good point right there. How many targets would he get? But again, like, you're targeting Devontae's still going to get his targets. And I don't know. You could target Devontae 15, 16 times week one against a young Viking secondary, but against a team like San Francisco, against a team like Seattle, the better teams in the NFC, like they have legit defensive backs, and they're going to game plan around shutting down Devontae. How awesome would it be if on the other side you had Odell Beckham Jr., or you could move Devontae into the slot, move him around a little bit, move OBJ. Again, I don't think LaFleur wants an OBJ or an Allen Robinson, somebody that's going to demand targets. So I think that that's a good phone call, and I kind of agree with it. I think they like the offense the way it is, where, you know, it's kind of like you'll get your touches, we'll run the football a lot, all that fun stuff. Rams online too.
All right. What's up, Ram?
Hey. Oh, Bart.
How are you? I didn't really want to take calls on Beckham or
– Why not?
Because we do this all the time. Hey, a guy's available. Let's kill 45 minutes, take phone calls. Everyone either says, yeah, let's trade. It's a no-brainer. Or they assassinate this guy's character. Why does everybody – I like to defend these. Like, OBJ is a passionate dude, and he wants to win. And he gets killed for it. Cam Newton. Oh, all these people hate him because Cam Newton was sad after a press conference. Cam Newton's terrific.
Well, it's just like the whole thing with Jimmy Butler. When you want a guy that's a competitor, he's not going to be soft.
Yeah.
He's not going to be charming soft and passive and just go along to get along. He's going to have a little edge to him. And those guys put in a lot of work. They want to win. And if Packer people want to win and get to the next level, you got to have one or two of those guys on your team. If you don't, you're not going to win nothing.
I could spin it and say Devontae's a diva.
Well,
I could say, hey, Devontae was tweeting. He was upset that where he was ranked in the NFL top 100. And then remember the time that he was throwing a ball and then he counted the defensive backs on him? Like, if Odell Beckham does that, it's Skip Bayless is doing it for a week.
Yeah. Well,
so if I want to, I can spin that. I'm not going to.
When you look at their numbers and the Pro Bowl they go to, it's not a lie. I don't care what these people in Milwaukee, Wisconsin talk about. You know, when I look at numbers and productivity and going to Pro Bowl, okay, you don't have a Super Bowl. You don't have an NBA title, whatever. But they putting up numbers. You look on YouTube, they put in the time and working out. And a lot of these other guys that the Packers pick up, you don't hear nothing about them. And we know when they play the top teams, they're gonna jam Devontae Adams, and then you're going to see what's really going on with the receivers. And then when they're dropping balls on us, they're going to get all these calls talking about they need to get rid of LaFleur, they need to do that. And people know what time it is. So if you want to win, man, you got to get the best, man. You get what you pay for, man. That's the sport. That's what I see. You get what you pay for.
Now, I don't think that, you know, cap-wise, these are options. Ram, thank you. Have a good day, bud. I don't think that these are – my thing works now, by the way, Horvat.
Cool, thanks.
You know, Odell's making $15 million the next few years. Allen Robinson wants an extension, so I don't see how these trades go down. One thing that I'm going to try to nip right now, I can't believe people want to talk about this. I'm, like, blown away. No, I'm not. I knew this would happen. Low-hanging fruit. All I had to do was mention Odell Beckham, and then people would start calling. They're not trading for him. I'm, like, fighting with myself. This is a waste of time, right? Is this a waste of time? I feel like I'm just wasting time. I'm wasting everyone's time. Corey's in Heartland. Waste our time.
Hey, just first thing, love the show. You're my favorite morning show.
Thank you.
First thing, I don't want Odell Beckham either. And the reason why is he's going to take away reps from the younger guys who are trying to build chemistry with Rodgers right now. Like, you're going to take reps away from MBS and Alan Lazard. And if you're going to do anything, I'd love to see you address the defense with Kenny Clark out and all that stuff. Anyway, love your show. I'll let you guys talk about Odell a little more.
Corey, appreciate your call. I really do. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250.
Allen Robinson is 27 years old.
Now you want him? I mean, I would take either of these guys.
I mean, I wanted Allen Robinson 2 years ago when you could have had him in free agency, and he chose to go to Chicago, so that's on him. I've wanted Odell Beckham Jr. forever. I just didn't realize OBJ and Allen Robinson are both 27 years old. I thought OBJ was only 25. Wow.
Was there a big difference? 27, 25? So what Corey says is these young receivers. The Packers could still use – you're not going to kick Odell Beckham out of bed for a bag of crackers, as my one friend used to say that I worked with when I was a janitor for a summer.
I think I'd honestly – I mean, I want to wait and see what's up with Kenny Clark. I think – so I want a wide receiver. But, I mean, you could have had one in the draft. You could have paid somebody in free agency. And you did. You signed Devin Funches, and he opted out. I think I would want more help, honestly, right now with this team on the defensive side of the ball, stopping the run. Not so much at the linebacker position. I think I would want somebody else on the defensive line. Like, I always bring up Snacks Harrison, but I don't know that he's right. But I would take another nose tackle. Anybody, some help for Kenny Clark would be nice, because if he does go down, if this groin injury, if this is lingering, who else do you have? Adams? Kiki? You know what I'm saying? If anything, if
I don't know, some guy named Chris Barnes came out of nowhere and was our second leading tackler last week. He looked very good.
He had two tackles for a loss as well.
He made the kind of tackles that Blake Martinez never did.
He was the top graded Packer defensive player, I believe.
Yeah, he was making open field tackles.
And then meanwhile, I did watch Blake Martinez on Monday Night Football, and I think he had double digit tackles, but he didn't really make an impact to that game. But I do like Blake Martinez. I wish you could add Blake Martinez with Christian Kirksey next to him, or anybody that could actually play. But, yeah, he wasn't the answer. So they had to let him walk. He got paid. Good for him. But I'd probably take help on the defensive side of the ball. I love the secondary. I like the pass rush. Anybody to help stop the run, I think that I would prefer that over OBJ or Allen Robinson. I can't believe I'm saying that. But I just think that, again, it's a short sample size, and you beat up on a Vikings team with a beat-up secondary. But Aaron Rodgers looked really good, and I feel like, you know, the one problem Rodgers has is he loves Devontae a little bit too much, targets him too much. You give him another guy like that, Odell Beckham Jr., like, is anybody else going to get balls thrown their way? Is MVS going to get a ball thrown his way? Plus, we got St. Brown eventually coming back. Everybody's been
right,
hyping him up like he's
like
Keyshawn
these
Johnson
guys,
in 99.
Let's not, you know, after week one, we really try not to overreact. And after week one, even after MVS's touchdown, you know, I go to Twitter and Facebook where Jesse, God bless his soul, is not on either.
He's smart.
Oh, I'm so jealous. So he's not on either platform. And what he would have seen is everyone doing the SpongeBob meme. Oh, you said we needed a receiver.
Oh, the capital letters. Oh, I hate that.
Let's not crown MVS friend of show quite yet.
Yeah.
We still have already crowned Alan Lazard probably too quickly.
Let's not forget that this was a 13-3 last team, and then they got just blitzed in the NFC title game. Like, you could be good and still not be good as the best. Like, Seattle looks really good.
Yeah, they still could have added a wide receiver. I think that is something that they could have done, but I don't know. As far as Odell and Allen Robinson, neither of these guys are coming here, so... You know, it's fun to speculate and stuff, but neither of these guys are coming to Green Bay. I think I'll just make that declaration right now. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, 799-1250. Somebody is staying in the state, at least for another year. At least that's what we're reading into the tweet. Giannis has spoken. Details on that coming up. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.